Inspired by cancel culture and the recent actions by the Randolph School Board and other school districts all around the country who've made decisions on the school calendar and so much more, I spoke about where we are going in this country with Dr. Stephen Mintz. He's called the Ethics Sage, and he's Professor Emeritus at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo. He's also a blogger and an author. His first book is called Beyond Happiness and Meaning, Transforming Your Life Through Ethical Behavior. He is also at work on another book on cancel culture. The school board in Randolph, New Jersey, we were going to talk about their original decision, but they have decided to rescind their decision on Thanksgiving.
Well, they had originally voted to remove all the names of holidays from the calendar, so you wouldn't see Thanksgiving, Columbus Day, and so on, and just replace it with days off. And what happened, as we found out last night at the meeting, is a lot of people were against this, spoke out against this, and it seems to have forced the board to withdraw that proposal so that it's now dead. In my mind, it was such a stupid thing in the first place. I mean, really, changing the name of holidays, how far does this cancel culture really go? So I'm glad people spoke up against it, because I think that's what we need in society, to have a check on the spreading cancel culture.
What was the problem with Thanksgiving?
It symbolized Western imperialism, you know, the United States taking property away from Indians. And that, of course, was a major objection to Columbus Day as well. And basically, it's just speaking out against the imperialist America back in those days. You know, people are against that. Some states have changed Columbus Day to Indigenous Persons Day as a result of that, to respect more the Indians who were here first, after all, before us.
Why do you think that some of these things gain traction? Do you think it's because nobody wants to appear like they're uninformed, so they just figure, I'll go along with it, or they're actually afraid?
It's probably a combination of both. I think it gains traction because we're in a divided country, and what one group says, the other almost automatically says the opposite. And I think social media has a lot to do with this. It's very easy to go on social media. It's anonymous. Vent your anger. Say whatever you want to say. And the consequences aren't quite the same as if you were talking to somebody in person. So that's part of the problem that we have today, the advent of social media and speaking out on issues so readily, and then gaining a following very easily. But I think it comes down to being a divided country. Let's face it, we have conservatives on one side, liberals, progressives on the other, and they agree on virtually nothing. So, for example, if for whatever reason a conservative came out and said, I don't like this term, Black Lives Matter, because all lives matter, well, Democrats would take to social media and cancel that individual immediately. By cancel, well, the cancel culture, we mean call them out, shame them in their community, and when it's a company involved, maybe even deny them the ability to earn a living. That actually happened in a case with this MyPillow guy, people might remember, Mike Lindell, who came out supporting President Trump and his claim of the election being stolen. But because he made those statements, whether you agree with them or not, or like him or not, he was canceled, and a lot of retailers dropped him, such as Bed Bath & Beyond. His company lost millions of dollars. So that's when I think the cancel culture goes a bit too far, to deny somebody the ability to earn money.
What would you say as an ethics professor to people who want to be good citizens, but it's dangerous sometimes to speak out?
Right. You're afraid of being canceled for speaking out, or worse, you know, being attacked. Well, that's part of the problem, but it's a matter of leadership. There needs to be some sort of leadership to support those people, and people have to be willing to stand up, be counted, such as at the school board meeting, the Randolph school board meeting last night. But I don't see any leaders, because people in Congress, for the most part, a lot of people in Congress, they go along with those who speak loudest. Those who speak loudest may not represent the majority of Americans, but they seem to garner attention more than anything else. And it's become where people are afraid to speak out, so they just go along with it, and it just gets worse and worse, which is where we are headed.
Is there a way, Doctor, to flip this so that people start concentrating on, as cheesy as it sounds, love and empathy and bringing everybody together? Or is that just a pipe dream at this point?
Well, it's almost like asking, can we regain our civility as a society, which I think we've lost. We've lost the ability to disagree with each other without being disagreeable. So it's almost hatred. And to reverse this course, we have to realize this hasn't happened overnight. It's been going on for quite a while. It's kind of hard to pinpoint where it started, maybe the 60s. But when you have a divided country and your leaders, the so-called leaders, are simply arguing with each other, you almost never see one side of the aisle coming over and voting with the others. We need leadership. When we had presidents like John Kennedy, we had leaders who people wanted to aspire to, their dream, their words. And I don't think we have that anymore because of the divisiveness in the country. So I wish I could say there is a way and it can be done, but it's going to take a lot of people stepping forward and being willing to be counted, speaking out, not being afraid of the consequences, which could be being canceled.
How do we do that? We can do it in our own personal lives with people around us who may disagree with us, maybe. And there's a foundation of love there. So you know you can agree to disagree, I guess.
You mentioned the key things, kindness and empathy. And I think we've kind of lost that, lost the ability of walking in the shoes of the other person, so to speak. And empathy is a big thing. And if you don't have empathy for others, it's difficult to be open to their point of view. That's sort of the point of my first book, that we've lost these core ethical values like kindness, like empathy, like respect for others, and it's really made us lose our moral compass. So this cancel culture is just one element of the decline in ethics, I believe, in society, perhaps in part due to the fact that a lot of schools don't teach it anymore. I know when I was in school, we learned about ethics. We had those types of courses, and there was probably a lot more religious instruction going to church or synagogue or mosque. We don't see that much anymore. So these are the influences that no longer exist in society. So as I say, it's been a culmination of a lot of things, but it does start with baby steps. Maybe getting to know your neighbor. It seems to me whenever we get to know somebody who we know nothing about, their culture and nationality, anything, you can become friends. You can find common ground. But as long as we're divided, we don't speak to each other, us against them, you lose that opportunity. And we need leaders to lead us. That's what leaders do. We don't have that. At least we don't now have that in Congress.
I'm wondering if everything in this country will come to such a point where leaders will emerge.
Hopefully, sure. Hopefully, if you're optimistic, you hope that that will happen. I don't know. I mean, it's not something that's going to happen overnight, so we can only hope that will happen. But yeah, I think it's going to take the American people to speak up against this cancel culture and other things like it, like happened last night at the school board. I know in San Francisco, which is close to where I am, we had a situation where they wanted to change the name of schools. No more George Washington High School, no more Thomas Jefferson High School. Changed the name because they were slave owners. Now, what happened? People spoke up. They went to the board meetings and they dropped the whole idea. So I think as soon as politicians realize that the constituents are not behind them, meaning they won't vote for them or may not, then they are more likely to reverse course. But because a lot of people don't want to speak out, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, they're afraid of it. They're afraid of the consequences. This doesn't happen as much as it might. So if I can do anything, that's part of my goal through my blogs. I have blogs I write on this, the books that I write, speaking out. So we need people like myself, or like-minded, I should say, to speak out, get the attention of the public, and hopefully change minds of people about this cancel culture and the whole society, where we're going. It needs individuals to step up one by one. One thing I'd love to see is some sort of TV program, cable news program, where they actually discuss these issues. You never really see that. All you do is you see one station discuss its side and attack the other side and vice versa. And none of these stations really seem to make an effort to honestly, openly, transparently reflect the other point of view. And that's a shame.
You've given us a lot to think about, and I await your next book.
I'm working on it.
Well, thanks for joining me today. I so appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.